Good morning. This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. As temperatures rise and drier weather sets into the Four Corners area, many of us need to do more now to protect our homes and property in the event of a wildfire. Fortunately, there is action you can take to make your home more defensible in the event of a fire, and steps that are easy to accomplish that will help you and firefighters react quickly when time is short. Local agencies and programs are available to make sure that you are ready. Today is part one of our three-part series on wildfire. This next part will air the next two Mondays, June 16th and 23rd. Joining me in the studio this morning is Rebecca Smolsky. She's the Wildfire Education Specialist for the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. She's also with FireWise of Southwest Colorado. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, let's just start off. What is really the most important thing that people should be thinking about now as it relates to keeping their homes and their property safe in the event of a wildfire?
I'd actually focus more on keeping yourselves safe in the event of a wildfire, because at this point, if you don't have any defensible space around your house, a fire could happen later today or tomorrow, and people really need to focus on having a good evacuation plan, having the things that they need, most important papers, stuff for their pets, making sure all the people can get out really quickly, prescriptions, ready to go in a heartbeat.
And what are some things that people should be thinking about as it relates to making sure that emergency personnel and firefighters can get into their property and know where they're at?
Well, access to the property and having good address signage is really important as well. All of the fire districts around here, most of them can make a reflective address sign if you don't have one already. The county's also in the process of updating addresses, so it's a good idea if you're going to get a new address to make a new address sign to make sure that it's the correct address that you're going to have for a while, because it's really confusing if you call with one address and you're signed as something else. I'd say that's good addressing, and then if we talk about defensible space in a little bit, you always include your driveway and making sure that your driveway is also defensible.
Sure. Well, what's really the biggest mistake that people can make, either something that they're not doing or something that they're doing that they might think is a really good idea as it relates to preparing for a wildfire, and it's really not a good idea?
Waiting. I don't know if that's something that people think are a good idea, but waiting to do something about preparations is a mistake, because it could happen any day when there's a wildfire where you live. Some of the other mistakes that concern me are limbing pinyon and juniper trees up to the standards that the State Forest Service lines out for taller pines, where people are limbing 10, 12 feet high on a 15-foot high pinyon or juniper tree. That's really damaging to the tree and the forest health. And if you're doing fire mitigation right, it should actually improve the health of the forest.
Okay, so how can people know what they need to do? They might have some of these trees like juniper and pinyon trees. They may not know what to do, and maybe they're getting information and it's not really customized, let's say, to their property. How can people assess what they need to do on their particular property?
There's some great do-it-yourself tools out there. There's a Colorado Wildfire Risk Assessment portal that the State Forest Service put together to actually be able to kind of narrow in on what the general risk is where you live, which gives you a little bit better framework for figuring out what you need to do. And then the State Forest Service also has a lot of great guidelines for creating defensible spaces and specific forest management for different forest types. So that's great to look at. Then the other thing that I have found to be probably one of the most valuable tools that I've gotten to work with is when I get to go out and individually assess a person's property and walk around with the homeowner or homeowners, because sometimes a husband and wife see things differently on the property or hear the same thing you say a little bit differently. So it's good for everybody to walk through that together. And look from the top down at the house and the entire property and the driveway, and is there an address sign, and are there things right around the house that embers might land in and catch the house on fire? And I've seen really good outcome from that when people have me out to do that, because for one, people who call me to do those assessments through the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association are motivated to begin with. They know they need to do something, and they're just not sure where to go next. And And so after I leave, once they have a better idea of what the most important things are that they need to do, then I often get emails and calls and reports back and pictures back about the things that they've changed and the improvements that they've made.
Is that expensive or is it free to have an assessment done?
Those assessments are free, and all you need to do is call me 564-7860 and I can schedule doing a wildfire site assessment at your property.
Okay. What if people can't do this kind of work on their own? Maybe they're older, they're incapable of getting out there and doing some of this hard work around their property. What can people do in that situation?
Well, there's a lot of wildfire mitigation contractors around here, which are hired hands that are very skilled and understand the fire behavior and know what they need to do to be able to change the fire behavior around your house and protect your home. And there's really a pretty wide cost range of what it costs to do property mitigation. It depends if you're going to have all handwork, what's going to happen with the stuff that's cut down from the forest. Is it getting left there? Does it have to get hauled off? Or are you going to have equipment come in?
If you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. It is our part one of our three-part series on wildfire. The next two parts will air the next two Mondays, June 16th and 23rd. My guest this morning is Rebecca Smolsky. She's the Wildfire Education Specialist for the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association.
Thanks. And I wanted to add one more thing, because I just mentioned the contractors and a wide range of prices. Well, of course, none of it's free. But there are a couple of programs that can help people with the cost, because just because you can't physically do it yourself doesn't mean you can financially pay somebody else to do it for you. The state of Colorado has a tax deduction program where you can deduct up to $2,500 off of your taxable income in the state of Colorado, and that would be up to half the cost. So if you spent $5,000 having mitigation company come in, you could take $2,500 off of your taxable income. So the max amount you can save isn't gigantic, but it's better than a poke in the eye. And then there's also the something that I'm excited to work on this year is a pilot program that we're going to have here in Montezuma County, a low-income wildfire risk reduction program for people who are on a very fixed low income and can't get the work done themselves. We'll be able to help a few people out with working on that defensible space around their home and driveway. And so I am looking for applicants for that. If you know that you fall into that, please get in touch with me. Should I say that number again, Tom?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, 564-7860. And then the other thing that I'm looking for that program is I still need more volunteers to help out with actually getting some of the mitigation done, too. We'll be working with the Southwest Colorado Conservation Corps to do the bulk of the chainsaw work, but I'm still looking for other people to help with some of the details around the house, raking, pruning, chipping, putting up hardware cloth, hardware fencing around decks to keep stuff from getting underneath the decks. So,
all right. Well, it sounds like people can definitely get involved. That doesn't sound like work that takes a lot of extreme skill to do.
No, we'll train you up.
I'll train you up. All right, we're going to take a short break here on the Monday Morning Zine. This morning I'm talking with Rebecca Smolsky. It is part one of our three-part series on wildfire, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. This is the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. It is part one of our three-part series this morning on wildfire. And this morning we're talking about what you can do to be ready in the event of a wildfire. The next two parts in our wildfire series will air the next two Mondays, June 16th and 23rd. My guest this morning is Rebecca Smolsky. She's with FireWise of Southwest Colorado, and she's also the Wildfire Education Specialist for the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. Rebecca, you know, we talk about defensible space, and people say those words a lot, but what does that really mean?
Defensible space is giving firefighters room to come in and defend your home without threatening them. And basically what defensible space is creating an area around your house where you've modified the fuels so that a fire is going to be of low enough intensity that somebody can stand there with a hose or a rake.
Okay. So a lot of places out there, you're part of a neighborhood. You're not necessarily alone. I think a lot of people think about their own property, but then they look over across the fence and they see, my neighbor's not doing such a great job here.
Right. Why should I do anything? Because his house is going to burn mine down.
So how can neighborhoods or areas, properties work together to create more of that defensible space or look on maybe a little bit larger scale than just their own property?
Yeah, I think the first step is thinking about it in terms of that, and people to start, more people to realize that this is not something that you can deal with just individually. One of FireWise's key programs, I'd say our biggest program, is our Neighborhood Ambassador Program, and that seeks individuals in higher wildfire risk areas who are interested in protecting their community from wildfire. And then between myself and my coworkers, we provide ongoing education and support for those people so that they have the tools that they need to be able to find some of these programs I've been telling you about, to be able to get on the ground demonstrations about how to do the work and what it should look like. And so they get ongoing training, and then they spread that throughout their neighborhoods. That's part of the FireWise mission, to spark wildfire preparedness in the hearts of our neighbors.
So does that look like a plan that neighborhoods come up together with, and then they can say, okay, here's how we're going to implement this over this broader area? Or is it just more kind of individuals talking to individual neighbors?
One of the great things about the Neighborhood Ambassador Program is that every ambassador has their strengths and does it differently. So some of them jump in and want to have a plan to begin with, and they start developing a community wildfire protection plan, or they do a community assessment in their neighborhood, which enables them to kind of identify where are our priority areas and really step out how they're going to go about community protections in their neighborhoods. Others are really key in on phone trees and getting everybody the individual information that they need to be able to do what they need to do on their property, and just spreading some of the stuff I'm sharing with listeners today more directly with their neighbors and helping them one-on-one.
Well, so what are some other resources that we've talked a lot about, contractors that people can go to? Of course, obviously FireWise, and then your role with the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. What are some other resources that people should be looking at as it relates to preparing for wildfire?
There's a really interesting one that came to my attention last summer through the Housing Solutions of the Southwest. And they have, as a part of their home rehabilitation program, you can actually get a 1% interest loan to do the fire mitigation around your home if you're a lower moderate income family. And I thought that was just a really kind of innovative and great program. And of course, that comes about because people who are buying homes out in the wildland urban interface, out in kind of the more wild, forested, sagey, brushy areas of our community, we're finding that they couldn't get insurance when they try to get a new home. And part of being able to get the insurance is being able to get the wildfire mitigation done. So I think that's where their program came in. Another piece, something else that we have here that's also a FireWise program, but I think is very helpful to people, is the chipper rental rebate program that we have, which is a way for somebody who around their home, around their business, or around their even vacant land, decides to get a chipper to help reduce some of the slash in there. After you cut down the trees, then there's all this stuff.
Got some of that at my house.
Yeah, you got some of that stuff. Well, if you go buy rentals and rent out the chipper, they also have applications there that you can send in and get half of the cost of renting the chipper back, up to $100 a day. I was at a neighborhood meeting Thursday evening, and the neighbors there had gotten together last year, and three of them did work on their property in one day and one weekend, and they each paid about $35.
They just shared a chipper.
And they shared a chipper, and they did the work together, so it kind of helped them all out. One guy drove the truck, the other two loaded the chipper, and they were all able to get a lot of the slash removed on their property. So they're going to do another one.
Good old-fashioned work party. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
It strikes me, Rebecca, that as we wrap up here, people who may be hearing this, and they're living in town, and they've got a nice green lawn, and everything's very nice, and why should they care about this? I mean, not everybody lives out in these areas that are threatened by wildfire.
Well, I think the reality here is that we all depend on these areas that are adapted and I don't want to say threatened by wildfire, but we all depend on these forest areas around us. Whether it's Mesa Verde and depending on the tourist income that comes into our community by having Mesa Verde open and not on fire for a couple of weeks in the summer, or seeing the other people in your county potentially, you know, losing their homes or being out of their homes for a week or more as they're evacuated for a wildfire. That all has a big impact on the community. And the other side of that is the costs are tremendous of suppressing fires, and more of those costs are becoming more local.
All right. Well, Rebecca, thanks so much for all that you're doing to help us prepare for wildfire, and thanks for coming in and talking with me this morning.
Thanks, Tom. I'll see you next week with the Cortez Fire Chief here.
All right, great. That's Rebecca Samulski. She's the Wildfire Education Specialist for the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. She's also with Firewise of Southwest Colorado. Don't forget, today was part one of our three-part series on wildfire. The next two parts will be on the next two Mondays, June 16th and 23rd. You've been listening to the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder.